You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're going to be talking about fear. Fear. The fear of the unknown, the fear of doing things, the fear of getting out of your comfort zone. You know, all those types of things that add to our fear factor in life. Joining me tonight is Tatiana Murphy. Tatiana's been on a show right before, and she's an artist, a designer, and an author that I think can add to the perspective of the show and really kind of define fear and how we can overcome it. How are you doing, Tatiana? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, I'm glad to have you on. And I just wanted to talk tonight about fear.
Don't you think it's the subject that everybody thinks about and nobody really talks about? Because yeah. Fear is something very, very intimate, and everybody has it, and everybody has insecurities about different things. So I think it would be a great topic kind of to bring to life.
I agree. And I think that oftentimes fear is an interesting thing. It's kind of like the thing that's kind of not really there, but yet we make it to be such a big deal. So it's like, it's kind of like the shadow on the wall where it's just like this tiny little thing, but the shadow looks like it's 15 feet tall and it's going to kill us. And we're like, oh my God, oh my God. And it's like, it's that fear factor, and we can almost fixate on certain things. And I've done it a million times in my life where I'm fearful of something, and it just kind of takes over your whole body. I recently was rock climbing and doing some hiking, and I was at one part, and I'd already been in that same spot before, 2 days before, and I went right past it. And this time I got, like, you know, weak legged, kind of freaked out. Then I started worrying, am I going to fall off the side of this cliff? Am I going to die? And then I just had to stand there, and I stood there, and I'm like, oh my God. And then I had to sit down. Like, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to lose it. You know, this is going to be awful. I'm just going to fall down this cliff. And I literally sat there. I was like, everybody just go ahead of me. I'll meet you in a little while. And I never met them, and they had to come back and get me. But the thing is that I was really feared out about something I had actually done 2 days ago. But that fear factor gets in your mind, and all you can think about is the negative side. What could happen? The worst possible outcome.
Well, great story. I was actually even thinking about, you know, smaller things, but when the fear of, let's say, appearing ridiculous, of not doing good, of failing at something, how much it shapes our lives. I think most of the time we don't even realize that our decisions are very frequently guided by fear versus by desire. Because in fact, let's just take a small situation. A lot of people are afraid of public speaking. I was afraid of public speaking, but here I am talking on the radio. It is something that when you're afraid of it, you need to ask yourself why. What is the worst that can happen? So obviously when you're rock climbing, there is a decent chance that you can, you know, fall and, you know, kill yourself. But when you're talking about, you know, standing up in front of a group of people, and very often it's a group of peers, maybe people who like you, you know, group of friends, what exactly terrifies you and what stops you? I mean, you are not going to die. So,
well, you might get shot down there on stage. I'm just kidding. You're
but,
not going to die.
I like thinking about this in terms of, well, first of all, let's just talk about in terms of small things that stop us from doing something. You know, let's just think back when we're teenagers and a boy really, really likes a girl, and he is, you know, thinking about her, obsessing about her, and he just can't build up the courage to ask her out. That is a fear of rejection, if you can ever imagine one. So some people overcome that, and then they ask every other girl, and half of them say yes, half of them say no, and maybe he finds the best one. And then they become successful salespeople.
I love that.
Yeah, and then other people never ask a girl out, and maybe, you know, some of them don't even get married.
True, that's true too. I've seen that in my own practice.
So, you know, a lot of decisions, daily decisions, stem from that insecurity, of what if. And then it is not about what you want, what good will happen, but what if something bad happens? So every day, you know, when you hesitate about something, please stop yourself and think, why are you hesitating? What are you afraid of? Because maybe it's that, you know, deep-seated fear that actually is living your life instead of you living your life.
Well, I agree, because, you know, the two things that I fear the most recently, and the smallest things, not just the rock climbing thing, because I do fear some small stuff too. I have, as I say, I do sometimes sweat the small stuff. You know, recently some of the times that I find myself in fear is when I'm scared to ask for what I want. You know, I'm scared to ask for what I want. Like, there's somebody standing there, and you know what? And they might say no. They might say, you're freaking crazy. But at the same time, it's like, if we don't stand and say, if we don't ask for what we want, it's like we feel like we have some sort of regret. What if they would have said yes? What if it would have been the right thing? And I think a lot of it's based on how will somebody react? What will be their reaction? And we're so scared of what the reaction is, we don't even ask the question.
Exactly. So you're automatically getting a no instead of having a potential yes. It is, you're absolutely right. But I think there's another part in there. It's maybe fear of hearing no, or maybe it's also fear, but appearing weak. You know, if you are, you know, let's say, you know, a big man, you know, a big man, very manly figure should not be asking for help. So there is that portion of it that plays. I don't want to appear less than what people think I am. So that also can play to you not asking for help or asking a question for appearing to be not smart enough, for example. But, you know, I think there are no bad questions. There are no stupid questions. You know, you need to learn, so therefore ask.
Yeah, the only stupid questions are the ones that we don't ask, right?
Yes, exactly.
We're like, doggone it. And you're like, yeah, I'll do it. You never ask a question. You're like, what am I doing? What did I sign up for? A 5-day, 24-hour-a-day camp out? Oh, my God. You know, I've signed up for things I didn't even know I'm signing up for, you know? And then we're just, and then you just get really angry and kind of regretful and just upset in general. But I agree with what you're saying. And I feel that oftentimes, I bet a lot of our listeners tonight feel how it is. And it can be something just even as small as making a phone call. You know, returning a call. I mean, we have, you know, so many relationships, so many conversations, so much communication, so much things going on in our life. You know, again, we all like to people please to some degree, and we like to hear yes. I don't like to hear no that much. I'm not a big fan. No doesn't make me go, yay!
Well, who does? But then again, it's part of life. You know, I started looking at it, and again, this is a recent development. Trust me, I haven't been that way all my life, is that, you know, hearing no, it means that you can move on. The worst part is not knowing the answer. And by not asking a question, you basically don't know if that opportunity is for you or not for you. So when you actually hear a no, it means, thank you, I will move on. It's really not always a bad thing.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that, because you have to kind of look at that silver lining, you know, kind of concept on no. And I agree, because I think we just get so scared of not, or just so disappointed maybe is kind of the construct, but I agree the fact that when we are fearful, the problem with fear is that it takes us out of living life. Like, it takes me off, it takes me out of the game. So, like, visualize, you know, a football game. It could be regular tackle football or touch football or whatever, but you're in the game, and all of a sudden you have the fear factor come in. And it's almost like you walk to the sidelines and you stand there. And you watch everybody else play the game, and life is, the game of life is life. That's life. That game is life. Let's just use that as the example. And there you are standing on the sidelines of life going, man, I'm so overwhelmed with fear. And I think everybody's been there one time or another. When I was younger and before I took my life into my own hands and did what I needed to do, I had a lot of fear, and I had a little bit of regret too. And that's one thing that I used to overcome fear now, is that how much am I going to regret not trying this?
Exactly my thought process. I would rather hear a no and fail than regret that I've never tried. Because if you don't try, you don't know. And, you know, it may be not such a big deal when you are, you know, 25 and you think, oh, you have the whole life ahead of you. But I remember thinking when I was young that I do not want to be, you know, retired and thinking, what if? Thinking back to that some kind of opportunity, you know, back a fork in your life, you know, going right, going left, you know, taking that job or, you know, not taking that job, taking that risk. You know, you don't want to be in that position when it's too late. So I think it's best to take the risk and to, you know, to try something other than not.
Well, it's better to try, and I don't really think anybody fails. You know, some people say you got to try and fail is better than not trying at all. And I just think that the only time, unfortunately, that we fail is when we don't try. And I think that's the only time we fail because we really don't know what's going to happen. And you have to really think about it. If you're really playing the game of life and you're really going out there and doing what you got to do, when somebody says no or something doesn't work the way you envision it to work, is that really failing or is it moving you into a different position to be on the right track? And I think sometimes we have to look at life like that. And that might be a silver lining concept too. But think about it. Not everything's supposed to work. I mean, like in my industry, okay, so Tatiana, in this industry, you know, we call radio. I mean, there's going to be some program directors that love my show and some that don't. And this show is it's a great quality show it's very, very good content, but some of them aren't going to like it. And it kind of seems wrong, but yet that just means that I'm supposed to go to another market. You know, or that means that I need to maybe look at another station in that same market. It might not be. And a lot of times we take it personally and that fear, but it's really not that. I think it's directing us to another location or directing us into a different direction where we can thrive.
Well, I can completely relate to that in my own life because as an artist, let's imagine art is an extremely subjective thing. I mean, I don't expect everybody to love what I do. A lot of people do like what I do, but it's when you're showing, you know, in any creative profession, it's we're not trying to appease to everyone or to appeal to everyone. So if you will find your niche or your customer, and that's why if somebody doesn't buy, you know, a piece of art by me, I'm not offended. I mean, they didn't connect with it, so that's okay. And also there's, you know, I want to return, you know, a couple of thoughts back about, you know, fear of failure or fear of rejection. I will tell a story from my life. I graduated from Art Academy as a youth, and my teacher strongly recommended that I follow that as a profession and continue studies at a pretty young age. I grew up in a, you know, very educated and very controlling environment, and my father said, you will never be a Rembrandt, forget about it, you need to get a decent education. So that was the end of it. I actually, you know, received a master's degree in English and then, you know, ended up in the United States. I basically did not paint from the time of graduation from an art academy. I simply didn't have the time. Until in my 20s when I was already married. And it was more like a hobby. I felt nostalgic. I felt, I battled with depression. It was just trying to get used to a different environment. And, you know, I kept saying, I want to paint. And my husband said, well, stop talking, just paint. And it was his push that made me do that. And without, I wouldn't say it was quick, I wouldn't say that it was easy, but from that point on, my career as an artist has started. So yes, I didn't really even think that it was possible, but you need to follow what comes from within. You need to follow your desires.
I love that. And when we return, we'll be talking more about the fear factor, more about the artwork, and more about the direction and being an adult and moving forward. Stay tuned. Leave Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time, and we'll be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the fear factor, overcoming fear, understanding fear, realizing where fear comes from, and how we can deal with it. Right before the break, Tantiana was talking about, so you were talking about going to art school and how you were in art school at a very young age and kind of on the road and a track to a certain track in direction and career. And you were saying that your dad was like, you know, hey, you're not going to be the next Rembrandt. So, you know, move on and let's keep going and do what you got to do. And so you stopped painting, and it wasn't until you're in your late 20s or whatever, you started painting again.
Yes, that is correct. And there it was more like a feeling that it was a calling. I really did want to become an artist and even a full-time, full-blown artist. And this is another thing about, developing a career. There is an idea of what you have in your head and you strongly think that this is what I want to do and absolutely want to do. There's a difference between an idea and the reality. So when I did become an artist, I realized that being an artist is not just sitting in your studio and expressing yourself on canvas. Being an artist is just as much being in front of people, just as much selling and presenting. It requires skills that I had no idea I needed. And honestly, the skills I didn't have at that particular time. It terrified me to be in front of a group of people and to, you know, talk about myself, talk about my art. And that was again that fear part, you know, and the fact that the development of what you want doesn't necessarily happen the way you think it would.
And I think that's with life too. I think that oftentimes we have a vision of what our life's going to be. We have a vision of the direction we're going in, and we have a unique vision of how that's all going to take place. But oftentimes that can be different. It can be changed. It can be morphed. It could be a little off from where the way that we thought it was going to be. But I think it's interesting because I think you hit on something that I think is interesting. Is that I feel that oftentimes too that our fear is internal, obviously. But I feel that a lot of times our fear comes from external bases, so from external people sometimes. And I think that even in our childhood, as we were raised, I feel that the things that our parents even feared becomes our own personal fears as well. And that's why I really titled this show called Perspectives back in 2012, is because in order to really be a true adult, we have to create our own life perspective. And that means removing some of the things that we have attached to us as children. And I'm not saying that our family is bad for having fear. That's not at all the case. But a lot of times we adapt to that because we're raised that way. And so, like, for example, fear of the unknown, fear of maybe not being able to create a career out of painting. The fear of not being able to get a paycheck, the fear of not being able to be, you know, the next Rembrandt, you know. And I think those fear factors coordinate in our own life, and they kind of become bigger than life. They become those fears. And I think that, like, the fear of, you know, not being good enough is a big fear that I've overcome in my
exactly
life.
That whole thing about not being good enough is that, oh, it will never happen to me, I'm not good enough because my father said I'm not. This is the necessity to overcome it in your own head, but also you have to kind of go against perceptions of other people, be that your parents or, you know, people around you. How often have you seen people who would say, oh, I am going to do, I don't know, become the president of the United States? Most people would roll their eyes and say, oh, you will never do that. I mean, even if they don't say that, well, they think that. Well, it's their problem. It's not yours. If you really, really believe that you want to do that, you need not listen to the people around you. Like, I should not have listened to my father at that time.
Exactly. But we've all been there before.
Exactly.
You know, and it's interesting. It's interesting how things come full circle too. I've realized when we finally let go of that fear, no matter where it came from or how it was imposed within us, when we were able to finally let that go, it's like all of a sudden we're back. And I know some people say, you know, hey, I feel like I've lost myself, or I feel like I'm lost, or I feel like I got really off target in my life, and I feel like I'm losing some of the best years of my life. And I have some clients that come in and say they feel like they're behind the eight ball. You know, I've been doing this for so long. I wish I could just do this, but I'm at this age and I'm this old and is this ever going to work? And my advice is, if you can get past the fear, start doing it now. Start doing what you love now. It's never too late to be able to overcome regret. It's never too late to be able to do what you've always wanted to do. However it works out, it doesn't really matter, but it's about eliminating that regret in your life and being able to sit there and say, I did my best and I tried it out and I feel good about it.
The other part that I think is necessary, you know, at least I feel is necessary to mention, is that in order to overcome it, you have to recognize it, because sometimes that part of fear or what if or I can't, if you understand that thought process, it's almost like catching that thread of thought, you know, in your fingers and say, stop. I'm not going to think that. I am going to, even if you can't kill it or walk away, you just refocus on something else. Start doing something else. Start washing dishes. Just don't sit and think about it, because it grows. The more you reflect on the same thought, and it goes both ways, positive and negative, the more you reflect on fear, the bigger it becomes. And you start, you know, just worrying about it over, you know, more and more and more, and thinking about it over and over again, where it literally, you get frozen. You can't function, you know, at least in that direction. So yes, I found it that it works for me. I have to realize what I'm thinking, that it's a conscious decision to stop thinking that way and move on.
You know, and that's interesting. I think the fear, though, is very interesting. I think it's interesting. I think the fear factor is just so interesting. I mean, they've even named TV shows called The Fear Factor. And, you know, I think it's that thing. And I've done a show in the past, and I talked about The Truman Show. And The Truman Show was a show, the first time I saw it, I hated it. I thought it was awful. But the next few times that I watched it, when I was able to watch it all the way through, I realized that on The Truman Show, Jim Carrey plays the lead role of a gentleman called Truman. And basically, there's an entire set created for him. Everybody in the whole world can watch him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And his parents were like hired actors, and he was born on set, and he was born on film. And so they have to be able to keep him on the set without him figuring out that he's actually in a TV show. And so they created this fear. And the fear that they created was, when he was young, him and his dad were out on a boat, and the waters and the seas got really, really crazy, and his dad went overboard. And all he could think about is his dad drowning and dying. Now, obviously, he didn't drown. It was all a setup. They just were taking him out. They were cutting his cast character and getting rid of the dad. But all he could think about was how fearful he was, how scared he was, and what was going to happen. Stay tuned. When I return, we'll be talking more about, Tanti and I will be talking more about fear, the fear factor, talking about The Truman Show and how this directly relates to your life. Check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com. Check out the show on all options. You can find all links on the homepage. Leave your true life perspectives. Your host, me, Ashley Bridges, be back this time and, well, two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Bridges.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Bridges. Tatiana Murphy joins me tonight discussing fear, and we were just talking about, right before the break, The Truman Show, and how Truman is scared of the water because his dad drowns at an early age, and how that keeps him on the set of the show. And so even though his dad was basically cast out of the show and they got rid of his character, he doesn't know that, so he just thinks his dad died at sea, so he will not go out on the water. And it's not until throughout the show that he pushes past that fear and gets on the water and actually gets to his freedom through a series of events and through a lot of pain and agony, gets to his freedom and moves on with his life. And I think that a lot of people listening tonight can resonate with what I'm talking about, because that fear can take away from our gratitude, it can take away from our happiness, and that fear can get in the way of us living our life.
I agree completely. It could be paralyzing. And also, when you're thinking about that, how fretting about something is, you know, it changes the focus of what you're doing and what you're thinking about. It changes your perceptions. I want to speak about my mom. You know, she's far away, and although we talk basically every day, if I don't call her for 2 days, if let's say a computer is down and she can't reach me, she's terrified. The first thought that comes to her mind is that something happened. And it's not that, you know, the computer is down. It's I'm dead, raped, I don't know, you know, eaten by the dogs, abducted by aliens. It's anything but a normal, you know, life type situation. And I've actually had in the, you know, I was in the meeting, so I could not return her call and could not return her call and could not return her call. Finally, when I actually picked up the phone, she was in tears. So this, I mean, I know this is like taking it to an extreme, but think about how many people live that way in fear of something that is not even logical. You know, what are the odds? Like, you know, let's just say you are afraid of being, you know, eaten by a shark. You know, the statistics of that. You will die any other way but being eaten by a shark. You know, chances are it will never happen to you. So this is the type of fears that is, you know, kind of funny to talk about, but trust me, when you are, you know, that person who's experiencing that fear, I swear it's not funny. I mean, that is quite, quite terrible.
Well, it's true. And irrational fear, I mean, most fear, honestly, though, to some degree, most fear, the majority of fears that we have is irrational fear. It's not rational. It's not like it could happen. And there might be a small percentage of chance it could happen, but it's very rare that it could. And that's really what fear is about, because, you know, if that's what's kind of freaky about fear, is that most of us fear things that won't ever happen. Or it's like a cartoon of the fear. You know what I mean? It's like something that could happen, but you magnify it so much that it looks like a cartoon, or like when you see like the little papers where they have what are those little cartoons? Not the cartoons, but the God bless Ashley. Okay, the comic books. You know the comic books where you have like the little squares and it's like bang and boom and all that stuff, and it's like you're like, holy crap, you know, it's gonna kill me, you know, and that's what fear is. And there are some fears that are normal, but the normal fears is that realistic fear and the realistic healthy fear. We should all have some sort of healthy fear, i.e. I'm not gonna walk in front of that car that's going 50 miles an hour because I'm probably gonna get killed. Okay, that's a healthy fear. A healthy fear of not walking on the train tracks while the train's coming. Probably a healthy fear. The healthy fear of not walking down the center of the highway while cars are coming. Again, healthy fear. Things that keep you alive, that's one thing. But most of us are pretty smart, or we're sound enough to understand that that's something we don't want to do. But unfortunately, most of our fears is kind of irrational and comical. And I think we have to sit back there and say, why is this scaring me so much? And that's what I want to go into right now, is I want us to sit there and figure out a checklist of how we go through the process of figuring out what is it that we fear, why are we so scared, and why does it fear us so much? Why do we get so feared, and how do we begin to overcome this feeling of fear?
Well, I was thinking right now as you were talking about, you know, fear of the real things, life-threatening things. You know, those are obviously, they, you know, they have a place in life. They're necessary. Otherwise, we're all going to be dead, and maybe the whole humanity can die this way. But I am thinking about taking risks. I want to switch it a little bit to a different subject. There are certain things that, when you are, you know, choosing a profession, you know, for example, a fireman, there is a risk to it, but then there is a reason for taking a risk. That is one thing, you know, the necessary profession, saving lives at that. And then also the calculated risk. What are the chances that, let's say, a fireman is going to die in the length of his career? Statistically, still not very high. Does it happen? Yes. So when you make a decision, or even when you are thinking of fear that is more or less realistic, you still have to think, you know, in terms of odds. If the risk is too high, then, well, possibly you shouldn't be doing that, you know. But if the risk is negligible or small or something you can live with, then perhaps the achievement of whatever that may be, you know, saving lives, for example, outweighs the risk, and you need to go with it. I mean, you still have to kind of listen to your heart on that one.
Well, yeah, and how and much do the rewards outweigh the risk to you?
Yes.
And honestly, I think that a lot of us are never at that point, though. I really think that most of us have irrational fears. And I have them. I mean,
exactly.
Like, I think most of us do. I'm not over there, like, sweating, you know, bungee jumping over shark-infested waters and seeing the sharks popping out of the water going, well, that's another great white, you know? I mean, really, honestly, I'm not anywhere near that bungee cord, okay? My deal in life, I feel, is that when I get unsure of myself or I'm in a situation that's new or uncomfortable, but I think oftentimes too it's based on how someone's going to react or how the reaction's going to and how everything's going to kind of flesh out in the end. And that's where I catch my fear at. And it's kind of like day-to-day life stuff. You know, it's like returning calls. It's making that it's going after what I want. And I think, you know, some people talking about a fear of failure. Some people say it's a fear of success. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
I think that's a nice way of put it. But, you know, I mean, I think we're all scared of not doing what we want or not achieving. But
not achieving, probably, because I think what is playing inside is two things: the insecurity of I'm not good enough, and then the feeling that, oh, I am good enough, but what if I fail, lose, not achieve what I want? There's this kind of like fighting perceptions of ourselves. Am I good enough? Am I not good enough? If, you know, because people who, let's say, decide that, oh, I will never achieve, you know, fill in the blanks, they decide they don't achieve it, they don't worry about it, and they just live wherever they are, and they're okay with that. And there are people who are absolutely 100% sure of themselves, and it's sometimes you look at them and you think they can just walk through walls. And, you know, those people obviously are, even when they make mistakes, they probably are so sure of themselves and secure with themselves, they keep on moving. But it's the rest of us who are probably somewhere in between, you know, who kind of argue with ourselves and, you know, deep in the night, you know, am I or am I not? Am I strong enough? Am I talented enough? And with that kind of insecurity, with that kind of fear of, you know, I guess fear of self in a way, you know, not knowing how strong you are, what you really have. And that is what we need to battle the most.
I agree with you on that. When we return, we'll be talking more about that, about value, about personal value, about negative self-talk, about all the things that go into the fear factor and how we can overcome that tonight. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time, and we'll be back this time in two shakes.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about fear, the fear factor, what fear is, why we get so scared, where it comes from, and we're going to talk right now about how we can begin to overcome it. Because life's too short, really, to be standing on the sidelines of life and missing it and watching everybody else have fun and do what they got to do, and we are just standing there with a bunch of regret. So, you know, there's two things you can begin doing tonight, no matter what. If you work on it on a day-to-day basis, it's going to change your life forever. You're going to really get back your life, you're going to lower your fear factor, and you're going to lessen your regret, and you're going to be a lot happier in life. And the first thing that you can do to really lower this level of fear, and it's kind of two things combined. These two things are hand in hand. You can't do one without the other, okay? So you've got to kind of work on both, but both are worked on by doing both at the same time. The first thing is that we have to recognize that we are good enough. That we are good enough that we don't fear, we don't lessen the value of ourselves. And right before the break, Tatiana was talking about seeing your value, right? And so
Yes. We
have to recognize that value, but the only way that we can recognize that value is to realize that we're good enough. Otherwise, we don't see the value. And so we're constantly putting ourselves down. And the second thing that we can begin to do is to deal with the negative self-talk. Okay, both of these things contribute to our fear factor. If it isn't because of the fact that we don't think we're good enough, then it's the factor of the concept of we can never do this. This is never going to happen for me. I'm not good enough. Everybody's better than me. I'm so scared. This is never going to work. I'm not going to get the answer I want. They're just going to tell me no. It's going to hurt my feelings. It's going to be a really bad day. And I wish I could just go back to bed. And that's how we feel. But when we understand that negative self-talk, we can reel it in, identify it, and start changing it, and that also begins to alleviate some of our fear.
Yes, and I was also thinking about the fact that sometimes you need to find courage. You know, that word, you know, is usually associated with something really big, you know, with war, but you have to have courage and confidence to pursue your goals. So when you are, you know, I don't think anywhere in the situation, in the military situation, there is somebody who is talking himself down saying, oh, I can never do that. I can never, you know, I can never fight. I can never save someone. No, these people also have fears for their lives. Our military have fears, but they exhibit courage. They do it in spite of that fear. So stop the negative talk, and then sometimes you just have to overcome whatever is going on in your head and do what you need to do. Find your courage.
And you know, one of the best things you can do too is, and this is something I came up with when I was younger, and you know, going through a lot of health issues throughout my life and dealing with it since a child, anybody that's gone through a lot of health issues and been sick for a long period of time, you know, obviously doesn't feel like they're good enough. Okay, so that's an automatic, and I've been there and I understand. And so the way that I work through it, and I use this kind of this analogy because it worked for me. And I don't know if you had, when you were a kid, you had like one of those Nerf guns, like the little Nerf guns that shoot out the little kind of like fuzzy kind of, like, you know, it doesn't hurt you. You can shoot it at people. It's like little balls, like little kind of, I don't know, like they're kind of made out of plastic or whatever, but it's like a Nerf gun. And what I would do is I'd visualize that Nerf gun, and when I would catch a negative thought, and you can hear yourself, a lot of people say, oh, I don't ever think about anything. My mind's just a clean slate. Well, unless you've been doing meditation as long as I have, it's probably not a clean slate. Unfortunately, a lot of us think negativity in our minds, and we have this negative dialogue going on that we don't even know is happening. And so the best thing that you can do is literally sit in a room and be quiet. Turn off the radio. Turn off all the outside stuff that we drown our own voices out on. You know what I'm saying? Turn that off. Sit down. And just kind of let your mind just kind of relax and try to just focus on just being you. And you're going to have these thoughts come in your mind that you might not have even realized is there. And they're going to be, it's like, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm this. And some of these thoughts can be quite negative for some people. And so what I suggest is when you hear those sentences or those words or those phrases, stop just hearing them, but visualize the actual words like floating in your mind and use that little Nerf gun to shoot them out. You know, whether it's skeet or whatever it is that you like, maybe it's a boomerang that you use, a mental boomerang to boomerang the words out of your mind. And it really works. And what you're doing is you're not trying to replace this negativity with something else. You're just trying to get the negative dialogue out. And it all begins with witnessing and recognizing that you actually have this dialogue going on in your mind right now.
Exactly. The first thing is that's necessary to stop it is to recognize that it's happening. I mean, it's as simple as that, because if you are hearing those words and you're understanding that you are the one who is speaking them, you have the ability, you nobody else have the ability to stop that flow. Because even, have you noticed that very confident people, even if you tell them something negative, they just smile in return because those words don't hurt them. They don't get inside, because what's inside is protected. And a lot of people allow that negativity, you know, maybe it was when they were children, that negativity seeped in. And, you know, let's say your mother told you that you were not, you know, smart enough. And then for the rest of your life, you are, you know, repeating that to yourself. So if you understand that it's no longer your mother talking, it is you talking, you need to stop yourself from saying those words.
And, you know, you're right about that, because, and think about the value argument, the concept of, are you valuable? Okay, so if you don't see the value within yourself and you don't see that you're good enough, even if a million people come to you tomorrow and say, man, you are the best thing to slice bread. You are it. You are the apple pie. You're the cotton candy. You are everything. Shazam. You're going to sit there and look at these people like they're crazy. Okay, because if you don't see the value in yourself, that it doesn't exist. So all that negative self-talk, honestly, is at the forefront. So you have the judge, jury, and executioner in your mind, right? No matter what I say to you, no matter how great I feel you are, no matter how great Tatiana thinks you are, it doesn't really matter. It comes down to the fact of, who do you feel you are? And what is so important is reigning in that negative self-talk. And it's not going to happen overnight. All of us have been doing this for a long period of time, and to overcome something that you've been doing for a long period of time, you got to practice something to change that habit. And so every day you have to focus on the fact that I am good enough, I can do this, and maybe even having a mantra. I write out mantras with my clients a lot of times, and you write it out. I like to write it out instead of type it out. You know, I am love, I am gratitude, I am worthy, I am good enough. You know, those kind of things, and repeating those things over and over again in the morning, you know, as you're smiling in the mirror and going to work, and maybe having a little list of mantra, a little gratitude mantra on, you know, in your car where you can see it on the way to work, reminding you of who you are. Because you have to combat those negative voices, because it'll keep you on the sidelines of life. I mean, think about how fear magnifies, right? You're fearful of something, and then you get a little more fear. And then the more that you think about it, the more fearful you get. And then your back gets all stressed out, and your head starts hurting. And now you're starting to have neck pain and back pain. And you have this whole conundrum over this one fear. And that's what the negative self-talk does, is that it starts reinforcing the fact that you can't do this. You will fail. This won't work. And so you got to combat it with something, and you've got to be able to hear those voices.
I have another little technique that helps me. What I'm thinking, if I am even personally think, or if somebody else said that I am failing in something, I'm not good at something, I'm sure that everybody has things that they like about themselves, the achievements that they are confident of. Let's say, you know, maybe your career is not going where you want to, but you're a wonderful father, a wonderful mother. Or, you know, let's just say somebody may not like their looks, but at the same time, you know, they want to lose weight, or they want, you know, to look different, but they are, you know, extremely intelligent, and, you know, you're finishing a book you're working on, or an invention you're working on. Refocus. It's like, tell yourself, okay, maybe there is a, you know, part of my life that needs improvement, but I have this, and I'm proud of this. And think of that strength, because nobody is, you know, yes, we're all whole, but we are not just one thing. We are very, very many things, very many facets, like, you know, like a diamond. Our life is all made of different facets. So, you know, focus on the facets that sparkle at this particular time, and then work on the other ones, you know, when you have the ability.
I love that. I love that. And Tatiana, thank you so much for coming on. I think that we've helped some folks with their fear factor, and hopefully we'll do another show here in the very early future.
Yes, thank you so much. It was a great pleasure. And I love, this is one of my favorite topics. I love talking about that.
Me too. And you can do this. Remember, you can do this. Be you, love you, and let the fear be gone. Got great shows for you next. Check out the website, AshleyBerges.com, AshleyBerges.com. Listen to the podcast and tell me what you think. You can always look me up on social media, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on Facebook, or my public page, Ashley Burgess. Watch the latest videos Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Stay tuned. Live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Be back this time in 3 shakes.